Knives out. Dish is about to be served. Outrageous. Are you kidding? I've been inside only one woman after I was born. The Statue of Liberty. Provocative. If it's a pain in the ass, honey, you're not doing it right. Pop culture. Meanwhile, she's on the cover of Us Weekly. Dating. Boyfriends are like jobs, except he probably stopped sucking after a year. Wicked. What do I look for in a guy? My dick. Smart. Sexy. Contemporary. I mean, I can't. Porn Again, the podcast.
Hi, everybody. It's Josh Sabara. I'm the best-selling author of Porn Again, a memoir. And welcome to the inaugural Porn Again, the podcast. The show is going to sort of live at the intersection of pop culture and sex. So we're going to be tackling my favorite things. And joining me today is one of my new best friends, Missy Martinez. Missy is sort of crushes the idea of how people perceive adult performers. She's smart, she's savvy, she's quick, not to mention one of the funniest people I've met. In fact, I don't know, Missy, I'm just going to bring you on because I don't think I can even do it justice.
Well, thank you so much, and I'm so honored to be on the inaugural show. You know, we're all popping cherries together.
Exactly. Now, speaking of popping cherries, Doc Johnson, our friends at Doc Johnson, are releasing, I believe next week, your first sex toy. Is that right?
Yes, they are. It's been a life goal of mine, actually.
Just well, mine too. Molded. I mean, who doesn't have that life goal, Missy?
I think that just shows, like, my narcissism is off the charts.
No, listen, it's a lovely vagina. I actually have one right here. I don't know that, have you even seen it yet?
Yeah, I actually, when I did a photo shoot for it, they had, like, a little prototype.
Right.
And the one concern I have, or, you know, kind of the complaint, is it doesn't have the fish smell.
Well, I mean, there must be something they can pack it. Put in a packet.
Yeah, maybe like a Febreze partnership, something.
There's definitely something that we can do with an aroma, I would guess.
Yeah, partnership with Starkist Tuna.
Chicken of the Sea.
Yeah, my pussy's dolphin-free.
So this brand new sex toy, so it's about to land on the market, they actually modeled it on you, is that correct?
Yes, I went to the studio, and it only took about, they did my mouth, my vagina, and my butthole. And
so how is it that I have only your vagina? How is it I have only your vagina if they've molded all of that?
Well, you know, you got to, you know, test the water, pre-release that, and yeah. So they're going to be worth a lot of money when I'm dead.
They don't want to give away the whole store up front. So right now it's just the Missy Martinez pussy, and then which is lovely. I mean, I'm actually touching it right now, which is the closest I've ever been to a vagina. It's really love. I mean, it's really, really something to be proud of.
Oh, thank you. And before I got into porn, I always thought I had a really ugly vagina. And then I started doing porn. I'm like, oh, Christ, no, this has been carved by the gods.
But by what, what's the logic behind that? When you say you always thought you had an ugly vagina, by what standards? How many had you looked at?
I hadn't looked at any, but, you know, I did the thing, you know, where you're looking with a hand mirror and stuff, mm-hmm. You know, just a normal Tuesday afternoon.
Right.
And I was like, oh, well, my lips are a little weird or just kind of dark on one side. I didn't have anything to compare it to.
Got it. All right, well, now we know that millions of people think that it's one of the loveliest vaginas. So I think you're doing great.
Well, thank you. Dude, my vagina self-esteem is through the roof right now.
Great. And if anyone wants to try your vagina, which I believe is going to retail for about $40, and I'm curious to talk later about what you feel, how you feel about the price tag on your vagina, but I'm actually going to offer some discounted vagina because our friends at Doc Johnson have offered everybody who listens to Porn Again, the podcast, a 25% discount on anything that they order between now and April 4th if you use the code PornAgain25 at checkout. So your pussy, they can get your pussy for less.
Yes.
So before we get into your background and all of the things that I can't wait to ask you, every week we're going to, or every other week, depending on how often I can pull this podcast off, we're going to talk about sort of some hot topics, but it's basically going to be things that annoy me that week. So I'm hoping you're willing to play along.
Everything annoys me. I hate everyone and everything.
I think we've connected on that level, right?
Yeah. I mean, I basically only like you.
I know. I said, if you had other parts, I think that we'd be having a whole different conversation.
I hope you like it black and veiny. The rest of me is my color, but only my dick's black.
Okay. You know what? I'm good with whatever. I'm not choosy. So one of the things this week that's really annoying to me, and I have a number of friends who work at Dancing with the Stars, and I appreciate the format of the show. I love the show. But one of the things that is really troubling me is the inclusion of Marla Maples as number one, a star. I mean, by that logic, I guess I could call myself an astronaut because that's just not grounded on Earth.
They're no longer stars or celebrities. Basically, celebrity just means mammal at this point.
Right, like some of the pro dancers have bigger profiles than the people they're dancing with.
Yeah, so, and I think it's just a cheap ploy because of Donald Trump right now.
Well, exactly. And it's because he's in the news. And let's be frank, she came. I mean, they say she's an actress, but I mean, let's get real. She's known for being Donald Trump's mistress, whom he then married. So, and one of the things that troubles me, and I'm interested in your opinion on this, Missy, is last season they had a gay male singer on his name is Who Is Fancy. And he had a single called Boys Like You, and he sings it with Meghan Trainor and Ariana Grande. And they had him on with both of the ladies. And apparently his choreographer wanted to do some moves that it would include two men dancing together. And allegedly, ABC nixed that, saying that that was not going to happen on the network. So that seems to me like some kind of, you know, statement. I mean, in 2016, how does that even, who's even saying that? But then we're celebrating a woman who's known for having an affair with a married man.
That's absolutely disgusting. It's just disgusting. And I'm embarrassed for our human race.
I mean,
actually.
And listen, I'll give her credit. She looks great, but a star she isn't. And, you know, what's next? Dancing with the Mistresses? We could get Donna Rice. We could get Jessica Hahn. We could pull Jennifer Flowers out. Maybe Monica Lewinsky wants to stop making handbags at this point and start hoofing it up on ABC.
I would watch that. I would too. Fuck out of that.
Because at least it's honest. It's like Dancing with the Mistresses. They're mistresses. I mean, this, we're watching Dancing with the People You May Have Heard Of at one time or another. I don't know. I mean, it's Tootie from The Facts of Life. Tootie on skates.
It's basically like a way of letting people know you're still alive. Like, oh, I thought they died.
Exactly. It's like, didn't I just see their In Memoriam at the Emmys?
Yeah.
I know. It's crazy. So then similarly, on another thing that I thought was hysterical this week was on my Twitter feed, there was, which by the way, people can follow me at Josh Sabara and you at Missy X Martinez, there was a headline in Variety that came across my Twitter feed that Scott Baio is now endorsing Donald Trump. Now, I'm not getting political because I'm not even talking about the candidates. But since 1985 has Scott Baio been a headline, let alone a footnote?
I'm pretty sure he valeted my car 2 weeks ago.
I mean, and then it said, it says he joins other celebrity endorsers, including Aaron Carter and Stephen Baldwin. I'm like, is this the cast of Celebrity Rehab? Like, what?
I think they were all sitting around a table and they were just coked out of their fucking minds and decided to back Trump.
I mean, what? And then, of course, you see the people who are against Trump, you know, Johnny Depp and Louis C.K., like a much more reputable list of people. It was just so funny to me that Scott Baio would be considered a headline.
And also Aaron Carter. I actually did some research. All his net worth, everything he owns, is worth less than $9,000. He has $2 million in debt. So it doesn't even make sense financially for him to back Trump.
So we know he's not donating to the campaign.
No.
Okay, and then one other thing that I think is funny, just that I have to throw in, is that I was watching the Today Show about a week ago, and I see Tom Hanks' wife, Rita Wilson, pop up singing her new single. Now, I know that she had had an album before, which is great, good for her. We all have a dream. What makes me scratch my head is it's sort of like when your husband's turning 60, maybe you have a boudoir photo taken and you give it to him as a gift, but you don't make everyone else look at it.
Yeah.
So maybe this album is something you do for friends, because I don't know if you've heard any of it. So meanwhile, she's on the Today Show. She's in People Magazine. She's all over the place with this album. And I have to laugh because there are people who can actually sing who are wanting to get their voices heard. And instead, I'm listening to Rita Wilson.
And everyone's like, who's that? And like, oh, Tom Hanks' wife.
Right.
Is it like Tom Hanks' wife sings the blues? Like, how are they going to market that?
It's just like Hollywood nepotism. It's just so funny to me. And listen, we all have a dream. Go out there, live and be well. But it's just funny to me. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, all right. Well, these people aren't as important as you are, so...
No, I haven't met anyone besides you that is as important as I am.
Okay, so here's what I want to jump into first. I know you're a California native. What kind of household did you grow up in?
My parents are still together, a loving household. My mom's butt white, blue eyes, blonde hair, and my dad's brown, so I look more like my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And contrary to popular belief, I wasn't molested.
Wow.
No matter how hard I tried.
I always say, I know it's such an inappropriate joke, but I always say, what was wrong with me? Like when I was 15, like if there was a rabbi, I mean, I could have been on a whole different path. Maybe I wouldn't have been a virgin until I was 31.
It's like,
and by the way, I know that's inappropriate to say. Exactly.
Yeah, but I had a happy, healthy childhood. Everything was good. I never got a pony though, so I do porn now.
There you go. So your parents are still together, you said. So do you have brothers and sisters?
I had a younger brother and an older half-sister.
Got it. So which one of your parents, who was married before?
My older sister's from my mom, and they weren't married.
Got it.
Very scandalous.
I was going to say, I like her even more now.
Yeah. And you know she does cream pies.
And not in the kitchen. Or maybe they do in the kitchen. So here's another question for you. So you, in your new video, which is called Fuktra, which is a take on a chakra, right? So it's, I assume there's, you know, a meditative quality or a wellness quality to the video.
Actually, it was from the Egyptian sun god Ra.
Oh, see how little I know? I missed the whole thing. I just assumed it was a chakra. I thought it just had to do with the chakra.
You're so Hollywood.
I'm not into any of that. I'm just saying that's what I jumped to. Okay, so in that video, it's advertised, if I'm right, that you do your first double penetration.
Yes. Yeah, I took two wieners at the same time in the V and in the A.
But in gay porn... When there's a double penetration, it's two penises in one man's ass.
So that's just a double anal.
See, I'm learning something. So that's a double anal. Double penetration means that there'd be one in each of the holes, like the vagina and the ass. But what if you then had one in your mouth at the same time? Is that a triple?
That is called an airtight.
And what if you have a glass eye and take it out and have a fourth one?
That's called a good time.
So, and you also do scenes with women. So your repertoire is not limited to male partners. Is that right?
correct. I actually started out doing just girl only.
Okay.
I was just a seafood buffet the whole time, and I did that exclusively for 2 years, and that's what I won my AVN for.
Which was in 2013, right? That was the best girl-on-girl
performance, yeah. Yes.
Okay. I hadn't even gotten to your awards yet.
I haven't put the award in my butt, surprisingly.
Oh. Well, that's something to look forward to.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, don't touch anything I own.
So was that a conscious choice to do girl on girl only, or is that just sort of the genre of porn that you established yourself in?
It seemed less intimidating, kind of like a way to dip your toe in. You know, that's just like the vanilla of porn. You've seen things where it's,
right,
you know, a gangbang of horses. And so I figured, you know, I can try this, you know, and just health-wise, it's not as hard on your body.
Right.
Yeah, and it just took off.
And in terms of your own sexuality, you consider yourself 100% bisexual. So you're as interested in men as you are women.
Yeah, I just call myself greedy. You know, any porn
potato,
will
potato.
Do.
So So when you, in your personal life, when you've been in relationships, there, it could be a woman just as easily as it could be a man, or do you connect to one sex more than the other on an emotional level?
I actually don't know if I could be in a romantic relationship with a woman, but I enjoy them sexually.
Got it.
I actually haven't met anyone or actually considered any females to fill that role.
And do you think that's just based on the people you've met, or do you think that's something that's just sort of wired into you?
I honestly never thought it was an option. Like, it didn't even cross my mind. And I didn't fully discover who I was sexually and, like, sexually confident until I was about 28. So, damn, fucking last year.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not even that long ago.
It really isn't.
So your family knows that you're in the adult business, is that right?
Yes, we just don't talk about it.
Got it. So how did that come up? Did they discover it or did you bring it up?
I brought it up because I couldn't take the lies anymore. And I'm like, you know what? And I told my mom and she cried. And then she's like, you know what? I couldn't keep clothes on you when you were little anyways.
Did you play doctor with kids? In my book, I talk about I was playing doctor from the time I was in preschool.
I'm not a doctor, but I'll take a look.
Yeah. Although at this point, I have so much weight to lose, I'd probably wind up just being the anesthesiologist if I was playing at this point.
Dude, don't be sending you that propofol. Break me off some. But no, I didn't do the whole doctor exploring thing.
Got it. Or
I might have repressed it. This might come out in 5 years. We don't know.
Got it. You know, I was very curious. I was very hypersexual as a kid. And, you know, until I started to be bullied and made fun of, and then I realized that there was, you know, something different about me. So I sort of squashed that part of my sensibility until, you know, I came out finally at 30.
Wow.
Yes. I was a virgin until I was 31. I mean, there you go. So they know that you do it, but you don't talk about it with them. So it's sort of a...
Yeah.
Okay. And your father, he's no different about it? He feels the same way?
Yeah, we just don't talk about it as if it doesn't exist. Nope.
Got it. And then what about your brother?
He didn't talk to me for about 2 weeks, and then he's just like, fine. He's okay with it.
And I assume, you know, it's funny, when I was in, junior high school, and I talk about this in the book, one of the deans of the junior high school, her sister was a Playboy centerfold, and she later went on to do hardcore porn. But at that time she, you know, dipped her toe in with Playboy and it was all over. I mean, every kid knew about that. So I imagine that there has to come a time where somebody says to your brother, has that ever come up where people know?
I've been out with my family, just like a family gathering. We were at a football game, and a fan came right up to me in front of my mom and my dad and was like, oh, my God, it's you. Can I take a picture with you?
Mm.
I was like, dude, we're right by the porta potties.
So how did you handle that graciously? Because obviously you don't want to alienate a fan, but it's
well,
your personal
I set to decide. I'm like, hey, I'm with my family. I'll take a picture with you, though. Just like make a quick kind of thing. That was nice.
Right. So was that unsettling for them?
I don't think they really put two and two together at the time.
Mm-hmm.
What it was, but it's more out of a respect thing.
Right. But you're not, you have no issue or no embarrassment with what you do. I mean, you seem very open and proud of what you've accomplished in the industry.
Yeah, it's, you know, my colon is on the internet. Like, I can't have any, I can't be on a high horse about anything. And it's just sex. And what I do for work doesn't define who I am as a person.
Right.
It's a job just like anything else.
Right. Well, and that's funny because you talk about, I mean, I think you bring up a certain point, which is something that I went through in a different way. You know, when you work in the entertainment industry and then all of a sudden you're not affiliated with a studio or you're not affiliated with a certain company and people aren't returning your calls the same way they did, or all of a sudden they're not as interested in being friends with you, and you have to learn in that instance that you are not your job and that your worth is not tied up in your job. And I guess you're learning it from a different angle.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a big problem that happens to a lot of people in the industry is, you know, Missy is my stage name. That's
right.
Not my government name. And some girls, they lose track of that. And so they'll be their stage persona all the time.
Hmm.
And you have to have that disconnect, you know, a 9-to-5, you know, when you leave set, you need to, you know, be who you are again and not have your identity tied up in internet fame.
So you've actually, and how did you, like, you're obviously very evolved in that thinking. How did you get yourself, I mean, obviously you didn't start out at the gate that way. So how did you come to this level of awareness?
I think I went into this actually just thinking about it as a business. You know, this is a job, I'm trying to brand myself, and it's for the goal, you know, for having a family later on, you know, disposable income, because Juvederm ain't cheap, man. It ain't
right.
cheap.
Oh, tell me about it. I have had every filler and cosmetic treatment you could think of. So.
Oh, we're going to compare notes.
Yes.
At lunch. We're going to compare notes.
Oh, yes.
yeah, so I just decided to treat myself as a product. This is a brand.
Got it. Now, do you watch porn yourself?
I don't watch my own scenes.
Right.
Because as narcissistic as I am, I'm very hypercritical of myself.
But in terms of other people's porn, like, is that a turn on for you to see other people?
Yeah, I'll watch some scenes, but I think I'm so jaded now. It has to be like kind of crazy stuff. Like, how big of things can this girl put in her butt?
Right. So it's kind of like novelty porn in a way.
Almost, but I approach it from a different way. It's almost kind of like, oh, I'm a shit performer.
So you're just trying to measure up.
Not even measure up. It's just more of an appreciation.
But then you're aware, obviously, of how the material is shot and how it's cut together. So does that change the fantasy for you? Because obviously when you're watching it, you probably know what they had to do to get that angle or how somebody had to be acting in that scene to get it a certain way. So does it ruin the illusion?
The biggest, you know, illusion ruiner is because they're all my friends.
Got it.
I work with these people. I know, like, I know her kid's at home sick.
Right.
And then, like, oh, this male talent, he can't come to save his life. Like, they were probably on set for 3 hours later than they needed to be.
Got it. And in terms of the, because in the gay porn industry, obviously the males are, you know, the men are the stars. And in straight porn, they sort of take a back burner. Are there straight male porn stars? Like, do people, because since I imagine the majority of the straight porn buyers are men, are there, like, how does that work? Like, in terms of, like, pay scale and those kinds of things? Because they're not as much of a commodity.
And that's fair necessarily. Yeah, you know, the women lay down and take a pounding, but the dude has to carry the scene. You have to block out all the camera crew, and you have to be able to, you know, ejaculate when they're like, okay, it's go time.
Right.
And you do all the work and get none of the accolades. There's only been a handful of male performers, like currently James Dean, Manuel
right.
Ferrara, Johnny Sins. Like, those are the big name guys who are a household brand. Kind of like how Ron Jeremy and Peter North were.
Right. Now, what do you think of... Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and those big names, they get as much as the girls get for a scene.
Really? So, and what is it that you think that straight men expect from that? When they see that man's name on the video box or on the scene, I mean, I'm dating myself by saying video box. I'm like, when they pull out their Betamax tape, what is it about that person that they're responding to? Is it the stamina? Is it the, you know, wish fulfillment, like putting themselves, projecting themselves onto that performer?
I think the biggest thing, there's almost a cult following behind performers. Like certain guys, like, oh, I know this guy is going to do a bunch of anal and make buttholes gape. Like, that's what I want. So I watch, you know, only this guy's stuff.
Right.
Or they like a dominant submissive thing. This guy's going to be a little rough. Or if they just like focus more on the girl, then they'll just take a middle of the road kind of performer that knows to stay out of the spotlight, not talk a lot, and just kind of, you know, you can see the penetration, but it's almost as if he's not there.
Now, do you have any say in who your co-stars will be? Like, do you have people that you go to work and you say, oh, I'm looking forward to today because it's him or it's her, or I don't want to go to, I don't want to do it with her, but I'll do my best to get it up?
I don't have a no list. I have a yes list.
Got it.
I only work with about 10 male performers. And basically a lot of female performers, but I have a standard.
Well, your yes list sort of becomes a de facto no list, because if they're not on the yes list, they're not getting in.
Exactly. It's easier to list who I will work with than who I won't work with.
Right. Right. That was a surprisingly positive spin, because, you know, I would never, I'd always have a no list instead of a yes list. So in terms of James Dean, there had been a scandal with him recently, and I don't know the exact details, but apparently there was an issue where, you know, something like they yelled cut on the set and he kept going, and a performer, I guess, felt that she was violated. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, it's a big thing, and that goes to, you know, consent on porn sets.
Mm-hmm.
And I've worked with him many times. I've chosen him for my first anal. He was in my DP. I have a relationship of trust with him.
Mm-hmm.
And if you talk to him, he mm-hmm. won't do anything that you are not comfortable with. And a big problem in this industry is girls are afraid to speak up if they're uncomfortable at any time, because
mm-hmm.
they're worried about losing their paycheck or just the company not hiring them again. So that's why I would say it's your body, your rules. If you're mm-hmm. uncomfortable, you're like, I don't like this guy's freckle on his dick, I'm going to leave. That is your prerogative as a performer.
Right. And have you ever been in a situation where you were uncomfortable and you had to sort of cut it or not do it?
No, I actually haven't. I talked to the performer beforehand. These are things you can do. These are things don't do.
Okay.
It's like setting some ground rules, like make it a clean fight, nothing below the belt kind of thing.
Right. Now, do you have specific limits? Like, are there, what are things that are like not on Missy's to-do list?
With girls, anything goes.
It's okay.
Do whatever. Let's put spatulas in her butt. Let's get this going.
Right.
With men, I don't do swallowing or cream pies, because I save that for my personal life, because I feel that is really intimate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which, yeah, I guess some people won't get it, but, you know, I think some things have to be kept special.
So how is it that you pick those? Like, I mean, we all know the old, you know, pretty woman, and I'm not comparing it to prostitution, but we all know the old, you know, she didn't kiss, she didn't, what, you know, everybody has their rules or what they think is the most intimate. How are those things the most intimate for you? Like, what is the reason that that's the boundary?
I don't really know what the thought process was about it. I just think it's almost like you're sharing something, like it's a part of them that's in you or something. I don't know what it is.
Well, and I also imagine that when you are in a relationship or you're seeing somebody that when you've been in relationships, how do the guys handle what it is that you do for, like, have you had people who, you know, imagine there are people who can't handle it and people who are fine with it.
It takes, you know, male or female, it takes a very strong, confident person and just it's all about respect and understanding the difference between sex, love, and intimacy.
Got it. And does it affect, because now I think people are under the, have the idea that when you are, that you, when you work in the sex industry, you're having sex all the time. But that is not necessarily the case, because you could be shooting, you know, two scenes today that get, you know, parceled out over time, or that could be, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're in bed with somebody every 2 minutes. Is that true?
Yeah, I've worked 4 times in 1 week, and then I haven't worked in 2 months. You know, it's kind of feast or famine in the industry. Mm-hmm. But I won't schedule a bunch of stuff in a week, because I'm like, you know, I got to use my cunt and my asshole afterborn.
Right.
And I always, I'm like, you know, girls take a break, because Louis Vuitton does not make colostomy bags.
And when you, how does it affect when, you know, at times that you had been dating and, or, you know, meet somebody that who's interesting to you, how does it affect your sex drive? Like, does it ever, do you ever feel like, you know what, I just did this today, or I, you know, it's been a busy week, my vagina needs a rest. Like, can it seep into your personal life when you're in that, when you're in this business?
Definitely. And that it takes a lot of understanding and compassion from your partner. You know, if, you know, it's kind of like if you work at Subway and you make sandwiches all day, sometimes when you come home, you don't want to make a fucking sandwich.
Right. Right. Right.
But another thing is, like, your partner has to understand, like, oh, we can't have anal tonight because I have an anal scene tomorrow.
Got it.
You know, so it's kind of, it's a weird line to walk, and it's not for everybody.
Got it. Now, what do you think about, do you think there's a shelf life on being a porn star? Like, for example, is there a point where you sort of hang up the panties and try something new? Or do you think you just keep going as long as there's consumer interest?
That's the beauty and also the scary part about the adult industry, is that there is a niche for everything. Girls that look like they're 12, and then grannies. And so basically you can be in for as ever long as you want. Mm-hmm. But I tell people, as long as you still enjoy what you do and you're having fun, like, more power to you. But there's some people where it's like, okay, honey, you need to go away.
So what do you see? What do you see for yourself then, long term? Like, do you? I mean, obviously, you're extremely bright. I know, you know, from you personally, you know how savvy you are in the business end of things, and I know how entrepreneurial you are. So what do you see for yourself? Like, where do you see Missy Martinez in 5 or 6 years? I mean, not that you'd even be that old at that point, but do you want to ride this wave as long as you can? Or do you see a point where you're going to segue into something else?
I've been in for 8 years, which is, they're like dog years. Slut years are like dog years. And the goal is to make money off your name without having to do anything sexual. So, you know, I've accomplished basically every milestone I've set out to, like, benchmark reason this. But the next one is I want to direct, you know, because I have a really fucked up mind. And mm-hmm. It's just like, it's just a hellraiser, but with dildos in my mind.
Ooh, like Pinhead, so like with step. Them out of his head?
Yeah, it's just wrong.
All right, listen, I'm all for it. As I say, who am I not to judge? Okay, well, that's interesting. So you would get behind the camera of adult movies. And then what are other ways that you can be earning money in the adult industry that would not involve you having to have sex? Like personal appearances, and what about, you know, these shows at clubs where it's like, you know, more of a strip kind of thing rather than actually sexual contact?
Yeah, I feature dance at strip clubs across the country and stuff. So that's a good way to interact with fans who aren't able to make it to the conventions, and then make new fans. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't a stripper before the industry, so I basically get on stage and do the Macarena.
Well, listen, people don't. I mean, I'm sure they're not. I mean, if you look like you, I'm sure people are fine with that.
They're like, who let Danny Trejo in here?
So what is your take on, as somebody who's professionally in the porn business, what is your take on amateur porn and these sites like Pornhub and XTube, where, you know, everybody thinks that we want to see him or her engaging in a sexual act?
Amateur porn, it's a lot of people, that's what they'll watch because they feel that it's more organic or like, I don't know this girl. I don't, like, she hasn't been in 1,000 movies. Mm-hmm. It's almost kind of like, oh, this is her first time. You know, she's the girl next door. But an issue that is, if you do 10 movies, you're not a porn star. It's kind of a thing thrown around.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you got to be in for a few years. You got to...
Well, that's the thing. I think everybody claims that label now. I mean, you do one video or they post one thing on the internet, you're a YouTube star. You know, the word star...
Kim Kardashian a porn star.
Well, she is, isn't she?
Well,
I mean,
of her own.
Yeah, but I mean, to be honest, it depends on how you classify porn because I consider some of those reality shows like pop culture porn.
Oh, true.
You know? But yeah, I mean, does she have only one sex video?
Yeah, with Ray J and his dick that looked like it was hitchhiking.
Oh, right. It might be time for her to do a new one.
I think so. I would pay to watch her and Kanye.
I would too. So what did you think of all of that with the Kanye? And then did you see the tweets between Kanye and Amber Rose where she was...
finger in the booty ass bitch.
Right. But what's funny about that is that she said it as though someone should be ashamed of doing that. You know, otherwise, why would you call him out? And then he responded as though he would be ashamed if that is a sexual thing that he enjoyed.
Yeah. And she's a huge advocate, you know, and I give her, you know, props for being against slut shaming and all that, but it's a two-way street. There's nothing wrong with liking stuff in your butt, male, female. There's nothing wrong with that as long as it's consensual.
Right.
Like, it's 2016. We're all adults here. It's just a butt. It's just a finger.
Well, and this is what I always say to people. Like, people will say to me, they will classify, like, straight men will classify the act of having something in their ass as being gay, that the act is gay. And I will say to the man, no, it's gay if it's a man's finger. It has nothing to do with the act itself. It has to do with what partner you're with, what the gender of the partner is.
Yeah, I mean, if you go to the doctor and they need a semen, you know, they'll actually milk the prostate. A medical professional will do that. And there's no gay, straight, bi in there. It's just strictly professional. It's just a... something that feels good that produces a response.
Right. And even on just biologically speaking, if you hit a man's prostate gland at whatever point that he's climaxing, it's going to feel good. Now, whether or not a straight man wants to try that or not is another story. But biologically speaking, it will work and it will feel good. But I just think it's funny that people classify the act of having something in their ass as being gay and not that... And paying no attention to the gender of the person they're engaging with. It has nothing to do with that. If you are a straight man who likes a woman to put a finger up your ass when she's giving you a blowjob, that does not make you gay. Right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's a form of sexual expression. As long as you're with someone you trust and stuff, have fun. Go for it. Life's too short to not come as hard as possible.
Totally. Could not agree with you more. So... how often do you get recognized in public? Like if you're out, going to Starbucks in the morning or you're going whatever. And when you are recognized in public, do people approach you or is it sort of that quiet wink where we both know why we know you or why you know each other? Or how do people handle that?
Usually it's like a couple, like they'll stare and then they'll like kind of do like, wait, is that who I think it is? Is that where I know you from? And I'm actually very rarely approached unless mm-hmm. I'm in a porn setting, like in Vegas at AVN, where, you know, I think they're less embarrassed. Like, oh, I'm here because I watch porn instead of I don't want the people ordering this espresso to know that I watch porn.
Right. They're there for that reason.
Yeah.
Got it. So has there ever been an uncomfortable time with a fan other than with your parents? But has there ever been somebody who is inappropriate with you because they think the nature of your work allows that, or is it that you'd be okay with that?
Yeah, that's actually pretty common, especially at conventions when you go to take a picture. Some guys will automatically try to grab your boobs because you're a sex toy.
Right.
You know, which I get, that's part of the fantasy, but you have to be able to separate that and realize, oh, she's also a lady. She's a woman.
Right.
And it's all by performer's comfort level. There are some girls, they love having their ass slapped and stuff. But if any, you know, fans going to conventions are listening, always ask, may I touch you or can I hug you?
Right. So there's like a protocol.
Yeah. Well, it's just, you know, if Beyonce was walking down the street, well, no, I actually might grab her tit. Never mind.
But so do you, I assume you're not okay with that at a convention if somebody wants to, I mean, other than a hug.
I'll do the where like, oh, they want to grab my boob. I'll put my hand on my boob first and then their hand on top of it. Like,
there's
fans I know from social media who have supported me for a while. They get a little more special treatment.
Got it.
Because it's like, oh, I know you pay for your porn.
Right. Which is what we want. We don't want anyone taking it out of the library. buy your porn. That's, you know, once I became an author, that was sort of my thing. It's like people said, oh, I'll get your book out of the library. I'm like, I'm going to go and steal any copy of my book that's in a library. I do not support it. I'm like, you go to Barnes & Noble or Amazon and you get that fucking book. Library.
I'm going to learn how to read so I can read your book. Are there pictures?
There are no pictures, but I'll be able to. You will get a personal tour through the book that other people have not had the benefit of.
Ooh, yes. I like that.
Yes. So I want to talk more about the Doc Johnson pocket pussy.
Yes.
So what is it that, I mean, do you add that to the number of men you've had sex with? I mean, depending on how many units move, like, do you say I've slept with 20,000 men, or I don't know how many units those things sell, but how do you sort of judge the success of that? I'm fingering you right now, just so you know.
If you buy my pussy, you can legally say that you have fucked me.
Really?
Yeah, I will allow it. I will retweet it. I will sign an affidavit. Like, nope, that's as close to the real thing as you're going to. It's probably better, honestly.
I think that's awesome. So people can tweet you again at Missy X Martinez, and you're also on Instagram at Missy X Martinez. Tell me a little bit about the camera shows and how that works.
Oh, I do webcam on StreamMate. You know, it's a great outlet for me to interact with my fans. And some people that are on webcam, they don't watch porn necessarily because they like the interaction. So they learn about me and like, oh, I'm actually going to check out her DVDs. And it's, you know, days I'm not on set, you know, I put my ass on cam and I get to come and make a little money and interact with fans. It's fun.
But do you see them or they? It's only they see you?
They have an option where if, you know, they take you in to do a show that it's cam to cam so you can see them.
Oh, that's great. So it's much more personal.
Yeah. And it gives you kind of something to feed off of.
Got it. And what is, how long, if somebody does a one-on-one cam to cam show, what's the average length of one of those sessions?
The average length is about 5 minutes. Usually the standard amount of time.
Mm-hmm. And have there ever been any of those situations that have been uncomfortable for you and you sort of had to cut it short? Or do you kind of just, there's the safety of the computer between you and it doesn't really matter?
I've never ended a show because someone made me uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fine doing role play stuff because it's fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as they're respectful to me. But I feel really bad doing like SPH, small penis humiliation.
Mm-hmm.
Because being
I didn't even
porn,
know
I've
that was a thing.
Oh, it's a total thing.
So and are these people who actually have small penises or just want to pretend that they have small penises?
Both.
Wow. How do we not know of this?
You know, coming from porn, it's like I'm used to saying like, oh, you're Godzilla. Your dick's like Godzilla. You know,
right.
It's so big.
And then you're having to... And then you're having to tell somebody how great their small penis is.
No, not tell them how great it is. Tell them how terrible it is.
Oh, you're supposed to shame them for it.
Yeah, small penis humiliation.
Got it. Sorry, I lost the H part of the SPH. That's really fascinating. One time I did, and this is in the book, but I did have a little fling with a priest in New York, a priest. And that was the turn on for me. But he had a micro penis. Like a clinically, you know, it was, you know, the under 2 inches, you know, it was clinically a micro penis.
And, oh, wow.
You know, but he was very good with his mouth and his hands. See, I mean, you develop talent in other areas.
There you go. It's like being blind. So you have a better sense of smell and hearing.
Exactly. Exactly. So do you keep your own schedule with the cam shows? Like, can you decide, like, what if you get up in the morning and you're like, oh, I'm just not feeling it today? Or do you really have to stay on a schedule to keep people engaged? Like, people have to know that they're able to find you at certain times and places.
Consistency is key because the guys know, oh, okay, I can see her at this time before work. But I can make my own schedule. And some days I'm just like, oh, no, this ain't happening today.
Right. Right. Now, what was I going to, there was one more thing I wanted to ask you about it. Have you found that do you get repeat people who consistently, like, I'm curious as to whether people think they're developing a relationship with you in some way. Like, for example, if you have repeat customers, I'm wondering if on their end there's some sort of attachment sometimes and how you deal with that.
Everyone, they know what it is. I remember all my regulars, when they're on consistently, there's a little number next to their name.
Mm-hmm.
And they like that I remember them and I know what they like. So there's not going to be any time wasting.
Got it. So tell me, so people can find more about you at missymartinez.com. And where do they find you for the cam shows?
On StreamMate, it's missymartinez.cammodels.com.
Okay, missymartinez.cammodels.com. And then on Twitter and Instagram, you're missyxmartinez.
And yeah, some bitch took Missy Martinez, so I had to put the X in the middle.
I mean, crazy bitch. Who is she?
I don't know.
What does
she
do for a living? And the toy, the All-Star Pocket Pussy, comes out next week, and it is at docjohnson.com. And if you use the code PornAgain25 at checkout, you can get 25% off Missy's pussy or anything else that you decide to enjoy from the Doc Johnson catalog, which is very extensive. I love that Doc Johnson, like our friends at Doc Johnson, thought when I was talking to them, I love that they met me and said, you need to meet Missy Martinez.
They're like, this is either going to be really good or really bad.
No, but it was so funny because they said, you know who you're going to get along with. I was like, you know, and they show me this packaging. I'm like, okay. And of course, you know, they were totally right because the minute I spoke to you the first time, I was like, I love this woman.
I'm so glad we got to meet, and all of this is going to be a long, fruitful, tumultuous relationship.
Oh, are you kidding? We're until death do us part. Now, I want to segue because we have just about 5 minutes left. So I want to segue quickly. I do a sex column for Gay Times magazine in London and do a lot of dating and advice columns for the Huffington Post. And so I'm taking a couple of the questions that I get that I can't necessarily get to in the magazine that I want to talk about on the podcast, and hoping that you can weigh in on this. So one of the letters I got was from somebody named Anthony in Texas, who wrote to me about sexting. And he told me that he's in a 5-year relationship with a man, but sometimes gets involved in sexting relationships online. And he wants to know if we would think that that's cheating, considering that he's had no physical contact with these men. And does he tell his partner that he's engaged in these, quote, extramarital texting relationships? What do you think?
I think that comes down to, does he have a relationship with this person? Is it on a schedule? Because at the same time, would that consider, you know, watching someone on webcam or watching pornography?
Well, he's just saying sexting, so I'm going to say, I mean, I'm going to say that it's, let's just say for purposes of this conversation that it's on a phone, like you're texting somebody. Now, I get that that could involve photographs that go out. And that's another thing that I think people need to be really careful about is, you know, people are not, they're not considerate of the fact that the minute you take a picture of your penis or your vagina and you send it to somebody, not in your business because it's what you do for a living, but you have to assume that all of their friends are seeing it.
Yeah. You know, don't put anything out there that you don't want on the internet forever.
Exactly. So I always say, like, to people, don't put your faces in things. Don't have it floating around that way. And I mean, and that's what gets people into all kinds of trouble. But to the root of the question, I mean, what do you think? Because if you're sexting, I guess that could really become an emotional affair, right? Or no? Is it just something that's electronic?
Well, if for, you know, argument's sake that it's on a phone, I feel giving your phone number out to someone is very personal.
Right.
So I think that kind of allows them a bigger piece of your life and your attention.
Right.
So I don't know. I think that's a gray area, but you know what? His partner might be completely okay with it, want to get in on it. But I would suggest that he actually starts sending naughty messages and pictures to his partner.
Well, and I think that's a great idea because that can always add some spice to a relationship and maybe make you rethink having to go out to eat, so to speak.
Yeah.
But the other thing that makes me concerned by it is that his partner isn't aware that he's doing it. So I say, if you're having to do something under the cover of night, then you know that there's something not quite kosher about what's going on. Because if there were, would you be needing to sneak around to do it? Or wouldn't you say to your partner, oh, but if you felt that it was in the confines of your relationship, then wouldn't you say to your partner, oh, this is happening, or I'm getting texts from this person, or I'm just having some innocent fun with this person? If you're concerned that it's a problem for the relationship, it probably is.
Yeah, it's kind of not talking about it. That kind of, it shows guilt that he feels bad. And even though he's not lying, an omission of truth is almost kind of like a lie. He's purposely not bringing something up in fear of, you know, repercussions.
Right. Well, I always say that. I say a lie of omission is no better than a lie of commission. If there's an intent to deceive, to me, it doesn't really matter how it is you're doing that to somebody.
Yeah.
You know, but what do you think it is? I mean, I've always maintained that texting and sexting is a real danger to contemporary dating, because what happens is people get this sense of familiarity and this sense of chemistry that may not really exist in person. So by the time you actually get to the date, there's this heightened expectation of the chemistry that's going to be there.
And some people are way better online or like in text than they are in person.
Well, that's, I mean, can if I had a nickel for every time that actually happened to me, then, you know, I could probably get Marla Maples to marry me, too. So what is your advice to people in terms of sexting? Like, how do you keep it? How do you keep sexting in a, let's say, out of a relationship? How do you keep it at a healthy place and a healthy pace so that a relationship has a chance of at least getting past a first date and hopefully to a second?
I wouldn't jump into sexting and sending pictures immediately off the bat, you know, because I think it's really easy in today's, you know, technologically driven society that there's this total disconnect. People just text. They don't talk on the phone. There's no human interaction anymore. It's Skype, FaceTime.
Right.
So, you know, actually make the effort to connect with someone. And then after that, after you already established that physical connection just by meeting and having coffee, whatnot, then you can start taking it a little digital.
Right. Because I think what happens is people get so caught up and then there's an expectation that you're further along in the relationship than you actually are when you meet.
Yeah. And that winky emoji, that'll get you every time, man.
What are your personal most used emojis?
The laughing, crying face. I use that daily.
So not the eggplant at the peach?
No, I rarely use those. Another one I use is the little pig.
Oh, I love the
pig.
And
then I use the winky tongue sticky out one.
And what is the one that people use for a vagina, a taco?
I don't even have that one yet. For a vagina, they'll sometimes, what do they use?
I don't know. I don't have anybody who's ever sent me a vagina, but I know a peach is an ass and an eggplant is a penis. So there you go for the gay world. So anyway, thank you so much to Missy. Missy.
Oh, thank you for joining me. Just
remind everybody, you can find her at missymartinez.com, on Twitter and Instagram at missyxmartinez. And again, her toy is available at docjohnson.com. And remember to use Porn Again 25 discount code through April 4th. And I look forward to our lunch and being in touch next week.
Yes, I can't wait. Thank you again for having me.
Bye, Missy.
All right, bye. Bye, 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 bye.
Thanks for listening. The No Holds Barred conversation continues 24/7 on Facebook at Josh Sabara Author and Twitter and Instagram at Josh Sabara. And then buckle your seatbelts for some titillating real talk. Porn Again, a memoir by Josh Sabara, is available now as a trade paperback, ebook, and audiobook.